Good morning. So good to see you come out to the house of the Lord today as we come together to worship here at the Boones Mill Church of the Brethren. I'm glad for each of you that have come out. Now, when I walked out the door this morning, snow on the grass at home. We had a covering of snow. We're not through with winter, I guess, totally yet. But I'm glad that you've come out on this cold morning, and I pray that God will warm our hearts and warm our time together as we worship. So we want to welcome you, and you that are visiting, we certainly want to welcome all of you as well. And if there's those out in the car worshiping with us by the broadcast that is being sent out there, we want to welcome them to our service as well. Now, today, we're going to continue in a series of messages that I've been sharing with you called How to Make It Through Tough Times. And today, part 7 is on learning to trust God. And I want to ask you a question as we begin. Do you trust God? I suspect most of you answer that question yes. So what do you do when we ask the question, how could a loving God allow the disease of the pandemic to happen when there's been over 1 million people that's died in this country alone? Or what about the war in Ukraine and all the people that are being displaced and the deaths, and how can you trust God then? Or what about all the babies that are dying in that conflict and dying in other countries because of famine and other issues? Every fiber of our body is wanting to trust God. But we look around and we cling to what we see that's happening in the world rather than to a God that we can't see. To trust God or not to trust, that is the question that people are asking in their lives today. Whether we know it or not, we are trusting in something every minute of every day. But what are you trusting? Maybe you're trusting the goodness of humanity, acts of random kindness. Or maybe you're trusting in science and medical health that is provided. Or maybe you're just trusting in yourself. I'm smart. I've been educated. I've got a job, or I've got some money. I'm okay. I'm trusting myself to take care of my needs. Hopefully, if you answer that question, do you trust God, that you would understand that when we trust God, it's not about us and it's not about what we do, but it's about God. It's about what He can do. Repeatedly, the scriptures, the Bible says that God has promised to help you. Help you with every need of your life. In fact, one of the Hebrew names of God, which describes what God is like, is Jehovah Jireh, which means I am the God who provides for you. In other words, that's a name for God. That's how God was understood, that He was able to provide for you. Over and over, God says, I will meet your needs. Now, one of the promises He gives to that proclaims that in the scriptures, Philippians 4, it says, my God will supply all that you need from His glorious resources in Christ Jesus. What a promise. He says, I'll meet all your needs. Now, what does that include? Everything. The problem is this. you look around and obviously not everybody's needs is being met. I suspect if I had time to go through and talk to each one of you individually, I would find out that you're struggling with something and you have a need and it hasn't been met yet. And in reality, many times our needs seem to go unmet. So what's the problem? Is God teasing us when he gives that scripture that he's going to take care of all of our needs? What's going on? Why isn't it? I believe in God. I trust God. Why isn't everything being taken care of? Is he just saying something that sounds nice and will lift us up, but isn't true? What is it that sometimes that we find ourselves that our needs are not met? Why? Well, the Bible tells us that every promise, there is a condition. In other words, one of the conditions for God fulfilling that promise about meeting all of our needs is that you have to trust Him. And so the Bible says there is a faith factor that's involved in receiving God's promise. Matthew 9 says, Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. God says you get to choose how much He will bless your life. It's according to your faith. And the obvious question then is, okay, if it's left up to me of how much faith I have, then how can I learn to trust God so that He will meet more of my needs? How can I learn to have greater faith? Well, you know, faith is an interesting substance. Faith is like a muscle. That means it develops by being used. The more you use your muscles, the stronger they get. And so the more you use a muscle and it gets stronger, the more you use the faith you have, whether even if it's a little faith, then when you use that, it gets stretched. And the more it gets stretched, the more God is able to bless your life because you get stronger in that faith. We call the circumstances that God creates to stretch us and to cause us to exercise in our faith, we call that trials. And the Bible says in 1 Peter, it says, these trials are only to test your faith to show that it is strong and pure. And the Bible tells us that like fire, when you put heat on substances like gold and silver and to melt it, that's the same thing happens when you're purifying gold and silver that God uses to test our heart. He puts heat on us. Call it a trial, a fiery trial sometimes. And it's in that fiery trial that God is burning off the impurities and making something pure in our life. So today I want to look at four of the most common trials. Chances are that you're going through one of these tests right now. Whether you are or not, if you don't think you are, I guarantee you before your life is over, you will find that you have gone through these four tests over and over again in your life. When you go through them, you can know that when you're going through a trial, this is an opportunity to develop your faith so that you can trust God more, so He can bless your life more. All right, here's the first test. It's called the pressure test. The pressure test asks this question: how will I handle stress? Will I depend on myself? Or will I depend on God? Will I turn to other things? Or will I turn to God? In Psalm 50, it says, I want you, God is saying, I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you. And so then you will give me glory. God says, I want you to turn to me when you're in trouble. I don't want you to turn to other things. But do we do that? Do we turn to God when we're having stressful trouble in our life, or do we turn to other things? I think we turn to other things more than we realize. We turn to them at least first to relieve the stress we're in at the moment. And then after that, after we realize those things ain't working, then maybe we turn to God. For example, sometimes under stress, we go to the medicine cabinet and we get that little pill, and that helps us for a moment. But we find out that it soon's run out and we need to go back and get more. Or sometimes under stress, we complain and we get frustrated. And so we find somebody that will listen to us and we unload on that person. And then after it's all over, for the moment, we feel good. But afterwards, we're still just as miserable. And sometimes under stress, we fill ourselves up with comfort food. And when we're through after binging, feels good for the moment. But then we got something else to worry about. Sometimes under stress, we go shopping, or we go binge TV watching, or we get all so busy in what we're doing and drown ourselves in work. We all have our little stress relievers. And after trying everything that we can think of, then we finally realize, you know, the only thing we've got left is to go to God. And then we go and we say to Him, or God says to us, basically, what took you so long to get there? That's what I've been waiting on. I want you to turn to me. And when we're under stress, we might not know it, but it's a test. It's a test of faith. We have needs in our lives that need to be met. But the problem is we try to meet our needs ourselves. We short circuit what God wants to do. God's blessing in our lives is that you can't get it by a quick fix or a cheap thrill or by an instant hit or by some quick relief. But we try this all the time. We don't wait for God to work in our lives when we're going through the heat that has been placed in our trial. In Jeremiah 2, it says, my people have done two evils. They have turned away from me to the springs of my springs of living water, and they've dug their own wells, which are broken wells and cannot hold water. Imagine this. God is offering to you and me something that will refresh us, fulfill us. It's living water. But we say, no, that's okay. I'll do it myself. I'll get my own. We do this all the time. Abraham was promised a baby, a son, that would bring forth a great nation before God. And as Abraham got older and he didn't have any children and nothing happened, he began to say, I wonder if I can trust God in this. And so because he didn't have any kids, his wife, Sarah, was infertile. And he began to say, well, you know, I'm going to dig my own well. I'm going to take care of this problem. And so he devised a plan. He took Sarah's handmaiden, her servant girl, and she got pregnant, and he had a child through her. So Hagar had a baby. And they named him Ishmael. And Abraham holds up this child when it was born, and he says, look, God, here's the miracle baby that we've been waiting for. And God says, no, that's your plan. That's the well you dug. I've got a baby over here that is coming, and he will be called Isaac. He's coming next year. How many times do we do this? That we go ahead of God, and we figure out our own plan to meet our needs and ask God, after we've done it, say, now God, bless what I've done. Bless this. And God isn't going to do it. Even when we beg and pray and ask for God to do what we're doing and bless what we've done. Some of you right now are struggling with pressures in your life. And the temptation is to do it your way. Because you've waited a long time and it's not happened. Some of you are struggling with that pressure in life and a temptation to do it your way, and you're building a well. You're digging a well that isn't going to hold water. If you're walking in darkness, the scripture says, without a ray of light, thinking that you're going in the right direction, trust in the Lord and rely on God even in the darkness, because God is there with you. We need to trust the Lord because it's a test. When we're under fiery trials, God is going to see when you're under stress, are you going to turn to Him? Are you going to turn to other things? It's a test. Will you trust Him? That's the question I asked when we began this message. Well, here's the second test of trial that you're going to face, the people test. God often uses people in your life to test and stretch and develop your faith. This test is, how will I handle disappointments? Life is often disappointing. Things don't turn out the way we plan for them. Careers don't pan out the way we had hoped. Marriages don't. Our health doesn't. The fact is, life is disappointing a lot of the time. But the most disappointing things in life that we will discover are people. Why do we get disappointed by people in life? We get disappointed by people when we expect them to meet the needs that we have in our life. They're supposed to make us happy. They're supposed to do the things that we lack and we need of them. Often, we don't understand. Only God can meet those needs. Other people can't do that. When you turn to a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or a friend, and you expect them to meet the needs that only God can fill in your heart and soul, you're setting yourself up for massive disappointment. God never intended for anybody else to take His place. It's a test. Your problem is not in people that are in your life. Your problem is your response to those people in your life. People are not the problem, and they're not the answer to the problems. The answer is your failures and your lack of purpose, the boredom you feel in life, your deep dissatisfaction. It's not the other person. The answer is God. The Bible says in Isaiah 2, it says, you should stop trusting in people to save you because people are only human. Don't expect a person to be the answer to all your problems. It's not going to happen. There is only one who can help, and that is Jesus Christ. Stop expecting anyone or anything else to be your hope or your happiness or your answer. Jeremiah 17 says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made Him, not other people, their hope and confidence. What happens if you do this? Look at what God promises in Isaiah 49. It says, anyone who trusts in Me will not be disappointed. Do you know why you're disappointed? Because you're trusting in other things besides God. Anytime you are disappointed, it is a warning light that you have trusted in something else for your happiness besides God. It's a big red light that comes on the dashboard of your life that says you've got your values misplaced. And if the truth were known, you often hide that disappointment. You put on a smiley face. I expect most people that I would see this morning asked how you're doing, our response is, I'm doing okay, I'm doing fine. And that may be the farthest thing from the truth. We might find that when we look at the picture book story, the fairy tale ending, the happy ever after that we're all seeking, that really our life is just a big disappointment. It's a test. How are you going to handle disappointment? You're going to complain? You're going to gripe? You're going to cry? You're going to grieve? You're going to worry? You're going to put your life in danger and mess your life up? Are you going to accept that God knows what's best and God has a loving plan for your life? And God loves you, and He knows what you need. And He hasn't abandoned you even while you're going through these fiery trials. God knows what you need more than you do. He is in control. And that even the disappointments in life have a positive purpose, whether you understand it or not. It's a test. Are you going to trust God with the things that disappoint you in life? The Bible says, anyone who trusts in me will not be disappointed. Well, here's the third test in your trial. It's called a persistent test. And that means, will I keep my commitments? Life is about making commitments. Your life is shaped by your commitments. Your character is developed by your commitments. Your eternal destiny is determined by your commitments to Jesus Christ. You become whatever you're committed to. The problem we have today is that most people are half committed to dozens of things instead of being totally committed to one or two things in life that really matter for now and that really matter for eternity. For the uncommitted person, there's a word for their behavior, and it's called selfishness and spiritual immaturity. Some of us need to understand that no commitment that really matters. If we're not committed to anything that really matters, it's easy to be committed to that. What's hard is when you're having to be committed to something that's important and that takes work and that is struggle and that is takes sacrifice and takes something from us. So you can expect your commitments will be tested. They're hard if they're important. So you can expect that. Your marriage vows are being tested. Your personal integrity as a person is being tested. Your faith is being tested. And I know the right thing to do, but am I going to do the easy thing and the convenient thing? Or am I going to do what I know God is calling me to do? It's a test of character. Ecclesiastes 5 says, if you make a promise to God, but you are slow to keep it, God is not happy. He's not happy because He's calling you a fool, because you're trusting in something else besides Him. God is not happy with fools, so give God what you promised. What commitments have you? Let me ask you that, a personal question this morning. What commitments have you failed to follow through that you gave to God? That you would give Him all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength? That you would read the Bible every day because that's the source of getting living water from Him? Or is it that you're not committed anymore to supporting the work of the church and what is being called for you to do to be a part of that community? Or is it sharing with your neighbors about Christ? You don't tell anyone anymore about the love of God and the need that they have for salvation? What are the commitments that maybe you are not fulfilling? It's a test of your character, a test of your faith. In Ecclesiastes 8, it says, the wise man will find a time and a way to do what he says. The wise person figures out a way to keep committed. But a weak person, weak in their faith, weak in their trust, they give excuses. The Bible says in Psalm 15, God blesses the person who keeps his vow even when it hurts. And that's the kind of person God blesses. It's a test of your character, a test of your faith. Well, here's the last thing I have time to share with you this morning about our trial, and it's the priorities test. This is the most important test of all. You will have this one many, many times in your life. The priorities test in life is this: who will be first in my life? What will be first in your life? One of the great promises of the Bible deals with this test, and it's in Matthew 6, and it says, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need from day to day if you will live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. God knows you have needs in your life. Yet God has promised to meet every one of those needs if you put Him first in every area of your life. How do you know if God's really first in your life? How do you know if God has that priority in your life that He's saying you're supposed to have? Well, the way you find that out, there's almost always three tests that you can find out whether God is first. The first one is, how do you spend your time? Is it spent in interest of what God has called us to be and do? Or is it our own pleasures or other things? The second one is the way you spend your money. Does all that you have come from God and He's asked you to use that for yourself, but also to use in the use of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? And the third way is, what do you think about most of the time? Where is your attention? Where is your thought? Where is it that you want your life to be going? Are those according to the way God would have life lived, or is it something selfishly about yourself? Those three reveal the priorities in your life. It's your time, your money, and what you think about. What is your greatest need this morning? Which of the four tests is God testing you in your faith? And how are you going to trust Him in those tests? You know, I'm saying there's four tests. Some of you might have one of those tests, some two, some. You may have them all in your life. I'm not sure what you'll be going through, but some of you might be saying, you know what? I'm just ready to give up. It just seems too hard. I don't think I'm going to pass any of the tests that God is putting me through right now. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm weak. I'm fatigued. I don't have the energy to keep doing this. What do? Look at what God says to do in Isaiah 30. This is what God says. If you will come back to me and trust me,
you will be saved and you will be strong. Notice two things God is interested in you. He's interested in your salvation and he's interested in your strength. You will be saved and you will be strong. You'll have the strength you need to do the right thing if you come to me, God says, if you trust me. And he said, that's a promise. So doing all these trials, that's not what's important. What's important is to come to God and to trust him. In James 1, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing, and afterwards they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those that love him. Trusting God is simply believing that he loves you just the way you are. Not that you have to do anything or be anything. God loves you just as you are. And it's what you think about him. It's what you think about the world. It's what you think about what is true. Trusting is a choice. It's not a feeling. When circumstances tempt us to believe something different, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because God does not change. God is still just as loving as when he created the world and created each one of you and me. He's just as loving and caring and powerful and almighty. How great God is. And we can trust him. God's not asking for us to ignore our feelings of the problems and the tough times we're facing. He's not asking us to ignore the things that are going on around us. It's not pretending that everything is all right, because our lives are not all right. What he's asking us to do is to acknowledge that he is God, the God that loves you and created you, and he's wanting you to realize that you need him. You need him this morning. You need him alone. And you need him today. And to trust him. That's what God is asking of you. It's a choice. And I pray that you make the right choice. Would you pray with me? Loving God, you have promised to meet all of our needs. But we often get in a hurry and we get impatient and we come up with our own plans. Jesus, I have no doubt that there are people here today that are having their faith tested. Help them to turn to you instead of to other things or other people. If you here today, anyone here today that needs Jesus in your life afresh, I'm going to ask you to please pray with me this prayer. I want to put my hope and confidence in you. Jesus, I'm choosing on this day to give you first place in my life. I thank you for calling me to you today and for what you have done to forgive my sins on the cross and give me a new life. And so, Lord, I come right now, trusting in Jesus as my only hope. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. Is drawing near. I'm gonna trust in God. I'm gonna trust in Jesus without shame and without fear. Through this world.
say today.